Lord, this morning we thank you, we give you praise. We ask that you guide us into all truth, and by inspiration, by revelation, by illumination, enlighten us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now just be seated, we have a long journey to go this morning. It's a critical season in the agenda of God. Several things that we must be equipped with at this point in time in order to stay relevant, in order to stay strong, in order to be an active participant in that which God is doing in His time and day. It is worthy of note for us to look upon the book of Revelation, because I believe that the last book of the Bible will minister so much to the last generation. And we need to look upon it to draw insight and draw revelation from it. Revelation chapter number 1. And we'll find some time to pray. What is upon my heart is so heavy. I don't know how I wish we had all the morning to stay here and look upon the scriptures. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, I want to take a reading and we are going to continue precept upon precept, line upon line. Hallelujah. I didn't hear your response. I say hallelujah. Alright, Revelation chapter 1 from verse 1. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bore record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Hallelujah. In fact, he places upon everyone that reads the prophecy that is in this book, he places a blessing upon such. And we must understand the gravity of the things that were being communicated in the book. It's essentially a book of prophecy. It was supposed to be a roadmap. It was supposed to be a navigation chart, so that everybody that finds expression at the end of the close of the age will draw wisdom. And one thing about a prophetic book is that he has the capacity to speak to 1,000 generations freshly. And it keeps unfolding, and it keeps manifesting, and it keeps coming. And so John says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Then in verse 4, he gives us a brief introduction of himself. He says, this is John talking, and I am speaking to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Hallelujah. He also brings a salutation from God. He brings a salutation from Jesus. He brings a salutation from the seven spirits that are before his throne. You may not understand. This man is introducing a book. He's trying to bring us into an understanding. And there are so many mysterious things that he's already speaking at this point in time. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And when he was done with the introduction, because he brought us greetings from heaven, he brought us greetings from the throne of God, he brought us greetings from the seven spirits that are before the throne of God. What exactly is this man trying to say? What is he communicating? What understanding is he trying to pass across to us? Amen? Now you find out shortly. We'll find time to unravel a few things so that we'll be on the same page. The Lord be praised in Jesus' mighty name. Then after all of that, verse 7, he now says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. If you have a red letter Bible, the next chapter should be in red. Revelation chapter 1 verse 8 should be in red in your red letter Bible. Now, you know, prior to this time, it was John that was speaking. But in verse 8, we find Jesus making a comment. Hallelujah. And so it's in red. Actually, John was actually communicating the things that he was speaking in the spirit that Jesus was saying. So it was like a prophecy in Revelation chapter 1 verse 8. But I want to start from verse 1. You know, let's try to profile and analyze Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 to 8 before we begin the journey. You know, when my transfer came to Lagos, I was expecting that upon entry into Lagos City, because most often we say, okay, historically it is true that Christianity came to the West. It came through to Badagry. And there's an accelerated operation of God within the West. In fact, the SU revival was a Western revival. And the fire of God began to break out. From that point, it hit the East, and so many things began to happen. And you expect that when you go to a city like Lagos, a city like Port Harcourt, you should find a very mature blend of the Christian faith. You should find a very mature dimension, perspective of the Christian faith. But unfortunately, when you get there, the devil has meticulously to mingle that which is pure faith with that which is occultic and satanic. And so the texture of the faith that we find in that kind of place has lost its savour. It has lost its capacity. It has lost its purity. It has lost the element of jealousy that is part of it. And you see, if we look upon the book of Revelations critically, you come to realize that these things were things that John revealed to us and warned us about. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 1, John is saying the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means the revelator of this book is Jesus himself. In fact, you must understand that the book of Revelation reveals Jesus as the revelator and as the revelation. Alright? Can we say that together? Jesus the revelator and Jesus the revelation. So it was Jesus that brought this revelation to John. And when this revelation was being conveyed to John, it was signified to John. It was transmitted. Now, have you ever switched on your transistor radio and you, what's the FM frequency in Makurdi? You know, I don't know where it is. What is what? Okay, 95.00 megahertz. Hallelujah. Now, if you switch your radio and you turn the knob, the tune knob to 95.00, you'll be picking transmission from FM Makurdi. The Bible says that these revelations were actually transmitted, they were signified. Now, when we talk about a signification, it is not a clear-cut communication. It's a coded, symbolic communication that was done by sign language. All right? Signs. He signified it by the agency or the instrumentality of his angel to his servant John. Are you here now? Now, first of all, we need to understand that statement. If we are going to understand the book of Revelation, then we must understand the first verse in that book. I need you to understand that in the ministry of Jesus, while he walked this world to administer that which he was ordained to perform upon the face of the earth, he had to suspend some of the privileges that were available to him in the Godhead. For instance, he had to suspend the omni qualities that he locked up in those words. And if you can stop and give it some time to regurgitate upon it in your mind, then it will be open for you to break into the spiritual reality that he's trying to communicate. So he says, Selah, don't be in a hurry to read some more. This one can take you throughout your lifetime. This one can sustain you throughout the day. This one can set you on motion for your course of destiny. Selah. Hallelujah. Please tell your neighbor, Selah. Many times you are in a hurry. You just want to read the whole chapter so that when you come out, you say, I read 41 chapters today. David will say, Selah. Hallelujah. Now, so the Bible says that as much as what? The children, he's talking about us, are partakers of flesh and blood. There's a relationship between flesh and blood that is in every man. The word partakers there in Greek is called koinonia. That's the same word translated fellowship in the Bible. Are you with me? So there's koinonia that exists between your flesh and your blood. That means we cannot take your flesh away without taking some blood with it. We can't take your blood away without taking some flesh with it. There is koinonia, that a fellowship that is existing between your flesh and your blood. You get it? Right. But the Bible says he himself likewise also partook. The word partook there in Greek is not koinonia, it's metiko. Alright, I'm just trying to compare some stuff. What did I say? That one is what? Metiko. Which means that he covered himself with flesh. That means the real Jesus was beyond the flesh. You don't get me? Oh my God. He covered himself with a garment of flesh. The reality of him was locked up in flesh. You see? But we as men, before we gave our life to Christ, were beings of flesh and blood. But he covered his reality with flesh and blood. And the reason why he did this, he disguised, he put on a form to cover his reality. And when he put on that form, according to the book of Philippians chapter 2, that the Bible says he made himself of the form of man. The word morphe, that word form is morphe, the structure of man. When he put upon himself the structure of man, what happened was that he had to relinquish his omni qualities. Are you here? In order for him to put this structure on, he did that by what? Letting go the omni qualities, which were the privileges that were available to him on the account of the fact that he was a participant in the Godhead. You get it now? So, Jesus, that's why the Bible says, that's why Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Because if you gained understanding of who I am, it means you have gone beyond the veil. Flesh and blood in Jesus was a veil. It means you have gone beyond that veil and you have touched my reality. And that kind of experience cannot come on the exertion of your flesh, of your blood, of your mind. It must have been that you have picked the whispers of my Father. You get it? Alright, I'm taking my time so that you walk with me. Because that first statement made there, the revelation of Jesus, which God gave him, I need to explain that. Because if I don't explain that, you'll be lost. Which God gave him. This is the revelation of Jesus. God gave who? God gave to Jesus. So I need to explain that. Alright? I need to explain that. Now, so when Jesus took upon himself the form of man, he lost the omni qualities. He could not be in every place at the same time. He did not have power to do everything. He did not know everything. So the limitations of the frame that he was carrying became true with him. So on the strength of that, he could be hungry. On the strength of that, he could be tired. So when you hear the Bible says that, and Jesus was unhungered, it was true. You get it? Because
Philippians says he put upon himself a structure, the structure of man, with its attendant weaknesses and limitations. Are you here now? So you hear that Jesus was hungry. It's true. Because that's a manifestation of that humanity that he had put on upon himself. When he had no humanity on upon himself, he could not be hungry. Alright? When he had no humanity upon himself, the weaknesses that we find in humanity would not be true with him. But when he put upon himself that structure, a limitation became operational in his life. And the challenge that he had was to communicate the divinity he had on the inside without allowing the weakness and the limitation of the humanity to distort the brilliance of his appearance. And that's why the Bible speaks to us in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 that God, whom at sundry times and in diverse manners speak unto the fathers by the prophets, as in this last day spoken unto us by his Son. And then he used the next verse to define his Son. He said, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's personality. Okay? That means that when Jesus put upon himself this frame and form, this limiting human frame and limiting human form and frustrating human frame and form, the divinity that he was communicating was not diminished, irrespective. That means Jesus, see, he's a wonder man. Hallelujah. You may not know what that means until maybe we take Pastor Chris now and we remove your substance and put it inside an ant. They will now say, okay, that ant should manifest like Pastor Chris. That your voice, like a trumpet, when you pray in tongue and you release it, that ant should be able to manifest it in the same quality and capacity without diminishing. So the structure, change of structure, irrespective. And the Bible revealed that Jesus was the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person. So a change of structure did not affect the manifestation of God's quality, of God's attributes, of God's nature. None of his attributes was diminished on the account of the change of structure. That's a mystery. That's what the Bible calls the mystery of godliness. You can't understand it with your mind. And that's why Jesus, the man Jesus, is a mystery. And that's why every time we look upon him, we see, we understand a little more about ourselves and about our destiny, about our calling. And that's why the Bible reveals to us that in the Christian faith, we must put our hearts, we must fasten our eyes on Jesus. Alright. Now, so when he had that covering of humanity upon him, the omni qualities were suspended, just as I said. So, he only knew that which the Holy Spirit revealed to him. And that which he learned. You get it? So, there's an option of learning, and there's an option of what? Getting revelation. He could only do what he was empowered by the Holy Spirit to do. And there was another option. He could also be a carpenter using his physical strength. You get that now? And the reason why he did not fall from heaven like Adam, just fall from heaven as a full grown man of 33 years old, was because in order for him to qualify to be man, he had to grow through the stages of manhood. And that's why he had to be born. He had to understand the travail of every man. God became man in order for him to identify with our infirmities. So when you are under pressure and you cry to him, the Bible says that he feels your infirmity. He understands it every way, in every width, in every dimension. He has identified with us so much so that he understands the way we feel so much. You know, many times you might be trapped in a situation and you feel that, my God, does God understand what I'm going through now? Amen. He has been there. Maybe you lost somebody, and when you lost somebody in your house and you feel so much pain and all of that, you realize that in scripture that was a point that after, when Jesus was 2 years or thereabout, you will not hear the name of Joseph in the Bible again. The truth is that he died. And eventually Jesus was raised just by one single parent figure. So if you are talking about losing somebody, he understands what it means. Hallelujah. When you see him on the cross and you hear Mary and all of that,
You never hear Joseph there because he died. Amen? So everything about human life is what he has partaken in order for him to qualify to bring us salvation. Okay, now the aspect of what I'm saying that has connection with Revelation chapter 1 verse 1 is that when Jesus was here, there were several things that went on in heaven that he was not aware of. Because that which was available to him was only that which was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, which was that which he needed to carry out his assignment. Alright? I can prove it from the Bible. Okay, Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Amen. The thing about the book of Revelation is that when we go into it, we need a lot of scriptures to come here and come there. So it takes time to really make progress. Acts of the Apostles, are you with me? If you are there, say amen. I didn't get to hear you.
Amen.
All right. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 6, the Bible says, when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Did Jesus say yes or no? Amen? What was his response in verse 7? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now, anybody with New King James Version of the Bible here, I want you to read the substitute word for power in my own version, in yours.
Authority.
It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which God, with the Father, has put in his own authority. At that point in time, Jesus did not have that information. You get it? So there were several things that were going on in heaven that were not revealed to him. Okay. Can we go to Philippians chapter 2, then I show you something? In Philippians chapter 2, we see the nature of the sacrifice of Christ. The level of death to himself that had to take place in order for him to fulfill God's will. And the consequence of that sacrifice. We see it in Philippians chapter 2 before I go back to the book of Revelation. And then we'll now begin our journey. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 1, I would not like to do the whole reading. I would not like to do the whole reading, but amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you go home, let me give you an assignment. When you get home, go read Philippians chapter 2 and from verse 5 to 8, you will find out that there were 7 things that Jesus had to die to in order for him to qualify to fulfill God's mandate for his life. 7 deaths that he died. 7 things he had to die to. He had to die to the privileges that he was that were available to him in the Godhead. He had to die to this, he had to die to that, he had to die to this. If you check it, you will see that there were 7 things he had to die to. And then from verse 9, you will see the effect of his death. Effect of his vicarious death. Effect of his all-inclusive death. You see it from verse 9. And that's where I want us to look upon. This is a consequence of the sacrifice of Jesus. And you also discover that the consequence is sevenfold also. The requirement was sevenfold. And the consequence is also sevenfold. That's where he got the 7 horns and the 7 eyes. Where the Bible says that he, in the midst of the throne, there was this lamb having 7 horns. Which means perfect authority in every realm, in every dimension, in every existence, in every world. His authority has application because on the account of the sevenfold nature of sacrifice that was attached to his death, he had gained authority in every realm. And that authority is made manifest in his name. and the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Now, so when we begin to read from verse 9, it's like a gift, the things that the Father gave unto him on the account of a job well done. Are you with me now? On the account of a job well done. Just like I send you somewhere and you go and you do a good job, and when you get back, I appreciate what you did so much and I give you something. These were the things that were given to Jesus on the account of a job well done. From verse 9. Wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And when we talk about names in the Bible, it's not nomenclature. We're not trying to identify things. When we talk about names in the Bible, we're talking about authority. All right? Now, you see, I want you to understand that the Bible was written in a kingdom era. And in a kingdom era, when you want to approach a palace, you want to approach a throne, you will find guards at the gate. All right? You must present the name of the man whose authority you represent. And if that name is not strong enough in that quarter, you may not be allowed entrance into the fortress. And so the Bible says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. So his gift and the privileges and the level and the dimension of authority is going to be operating on and in on the account of what he did is encapsulated in his name. You see that now? And then you get to see the dimensions of validity that this name has. How valid is the name? In what realms can that name operate? Amen? And then he showed us the scope. So you see that he began to receive some things from the Father here on the account of his work that was accepted by God. Are you with me now? He started receiving some things. And those revelations that were communicated to John on the Isle of Patmos were one of the things that Jesus received from the Father after that he had finished his work. Because these were revelations of the consequence of that sacrifice that Jesus had given. Alright? Was hidden in the Father. The Father had authority over the timings. He had authority over the strategy. He had authority over the things that will come to pass. It was in his charge and in his authority. And Jesus said that. You get it? So one of the things that he received on the account of the work that he did was the revelations that he gave to John. And so the Bible says the revelation of Jesus, which God gave unto him, unto Jesus. You get it now? So the Father gave unto him as one of the things that he received because of a job well done. So you must understand the gravity of this book. And that's why John says, blessed is he that reads the words of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. When last did you read the words of that prophecy? Huh? Batty. Say, blessed is he. There's so much in it. The purpose of God, the graphic picture of the purpose of God, and the progression of things, even including timings and seasons, have been factored into this revelation. This is the unfolding picture of God's ordained plan. And whether demons gather from all the continents, this will still come to pass. All right? Can we go back to Revelation now? So you understand that first statement. So revelations that were given to him. Because when he came back into the heavens, I need you to understand, Jesus, when he put on humanity. Amen? Are you still with me? You are not with me anymore. You see, I believe that we have become matured in the world, so we can talk deep now. We can talk deep. Now, when Jesus put on humanity, and when he eventually died, all right? You know, the Bible revealed that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means we cannot go to God's realm, enter God's realm like this. With this. This one can enter into God's realm. So when Jesus died and was in the tomb, hallelujah,
it was by the power of the Spirit that he was resurrected. And it was that his body that was resurrected and glorified. That body was resurrected and glorified. And the Bible reveals to us that Jesus is still in heaven with that body. Think about it. The form in which he left heaven is not the form in which he came back. That was the same body that Thomas touched. It is because of that revelation that we know that heaven has space. Can you understand what I'm talking about? Because prior to this time, people thought that heaven was just a condition, a state, just like a state of matter. Liquid, solid, and what? And gas. So when you transit from one state to another state, then that's heaven for you. But if Jesus in bodily form could ascend to heaven, we know that heaven is a place in the realm. And that's the proof. That's how we know that heaven is a place. Because the same Jesus that they touched, Jesus occupied that occupied space, he could sit on a seat, and you will not be able to sit on that seat again because he has occupied it. So he has his matter. Okay? And the Bible says he's in heaven like that. That's how we get to know that heaven is a place. And the Bible also reveals that heaven is a condition. It's a state. It's a condition. There's a condition of heaven, and there's the place heaven. Because one of the things that Jesus does, is he as the priest, after the order of Melchizedek, is that he ministers the condition of heaven into our spirit. It's on the strength of that we can participate in heaven right here. Now, you see, we are still not strong enough to receive some revelations in the Bible. Just like revelations like the eternal ministry of Christ. And what Jesus is doing now as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. When we go into it, the class will break. But these are realities that we need to work with so that we can fulfill the intent of God. Amen? See, there's great bankruptcy of truth in the body of Christ. Great bankruptcy. And that's why people come to church and they don't become anything. If we understand that Bible, it will make supernatural men out of all of us, irrespective of your family background and the limitations around you. If you know how to tap into that which is available to us on the account of our salvation, my God, you will discover that mortality itself is a light thing to bear. With all its challenges and all its afflictions, mortality is a light thing to bear. So it ministers the condition of heaven into your spirit. And so, in your spirit, you can actually access what is going on in heaven. You can participate in heaven as you participate in it. And several other things that he does. He prays for us. Because the Bible reveals that he upholds everything. It's his duty to uphold things. So he was the one that saves you and he keeps you saved. In his keeping you saved, his priestly ministry is that which guarantees that you are kept saved. And that's why the Bible says, unto him that is able to keep us from falling. That is incumbent upon his priestly ministry. A lot of things coming to John in the book of Revelation here is going to baffle him. And I want us to really trace it and understand where it's going. As I try to introduce something to us, which will build upon subsequently. And the Lord be praised in Jesus' mighty name. I hope what I've said is not too difficult for you to capture. Hallelujah. Alright, so the revelations were given to Jesus after that he accomplished God's will. And that's why the Bible says that he sent and signified these revelations to John for the churches. And there's a purpose attached to it. Amen? There's a purpose attached to that. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ which gave unto him to show unto his servants these things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So you need to be equipped and armed with these revelations so that you will know how to order your steps and order your life in the events that are going to definitely unfold. Alright? Now, so, this God had chosen John to be the saint that is going to receive this revelation. Many times I ask why John. There were so many apostles, so many disciples. Why was it that John was chosen? Many times I ask that question. Because if we look critically to the book of John, you come to discover that John was the man that knew Jesus most. Actually, there were critical revelations that God gave to the Johns. John the Baptist was the one that discovered that this, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. John the Beloved had critical revelations. And John the Beloved was the one that was kept again for the final revelation. I think we can find that from scripture why it was John. Hallelujah. John was like Jesus' best friend while he was upon the face of the earth. Whereas all the apostles died deaths of martyrdom, John was preserved for a final revelation. It was not as if they did not make attempt to kill him. They put him in boiling water. John didn't die. Boiling oil, he didn't die. They tied a milestone around his neck and put him in the ocean. He lived in the belly of the river like a water creature for 3 days. Hallelujah. And then he was drifted onto the Isle of Patmos. By the time he got to the Isle of Patmos, his visage, his countenance and his configuration had been altered. Just like that which happened to Jesus when they beat him. And the Bible says he had no form nor comeliness, such that when we behold him, when we see him, amen? There's nothing in him that we should desire him. The same thing happened to John. And we must understand where we take the root of this story from. Because John had a brother called James. And their mother now brought them to Jesus and said, Master, grant that one of my sons will sit on your right hand and sit on your left hand in your kingdom. Jesus said, all right. Can they drink of my cup? Can they be baptized with my baptism? The mother, without knowing what the cup was, what the baptism was, said, yes, they are qualified. They will drink. Jesus said, all right. You see, in this kingdom template, there's a level of authority I have in this kingdom. So I can only speak from the plane of authority that I have in this kingdom, that which I can approve. Okay? Yes, you guys, your sons have now been included in the cup and in the baptism. But it's not still in my office to determine who will sit here and who will sit there. But the cup, and you can be sure that the cup and the baptism have been approved. I is my table that deals with that is approved already. And then I forwarded your file, your application, for onward consideration. To see whether it will scale the test in the office of whom has the authority to grant your request. And when we read the story of the Bible quickly, when we begin to read, you begin to see that when Herod began to vex certain of the church, the first he killed was what? James. Because it was a baptism of death and a cup of suffering. But they never knew. So John's destiny was that he was going to drink of the cup of suffering so death could not kill him. Get it? This one was taken. I know the mother didn't return when James died. She must have tried to withdraw the application at that point. But it had been sealed by a golden sea. By walls that cannot be altered. Amen? So it was John that was kept for the cup of suffering. That in his destiny, there was going to be a lot of suffering. But he was going to see the glory of God. How it was John that was kept for that, it was the Father that determined. Okay? And John was now brought on the Isle of Patmos. Many times they have attempted to kill him. He never dies. Put him in oil, he doesn't die. Put him in water, he's a water creature. He has found another habitat of survival. And then he eventually came to the Isle of Patmos. That's why he introduced himself. He said, I, John. Because if you saw him that time, you would not know that this was John. So he had to introduce himself. I'm the one speaking. I may not look like what I used to be, but I'm John. And he gave us the credentials that he presented credentials that he was an authentic Christian. Can we check the Bible? Just in case you are practicing a kind of Christianity that does not have these credentials,
You have been overtaken by the spirit that John is warning us about. Can we check it now? Hallelujah. Oh, you are not ready for Bible study this morning. I came full, but I can go back with it. And God will not be angry. Because the people, they are, you know. Check it. John gave us his credentials in John chapter 1 verse 9. He said, I, John, am your brother and companion in tribulation. You see, the truth of the matter is this. Amen? Are you with me? We must understand that there is a prince that governs this world. And when you say that you will not pledge allegiance to the prince of this world, he will use the power that is at his disposal to try to offend you. Amen? Now, we're holding a crusade many years ago, and the equipment that we tested suddenly stopped working. And that's how you know that God is in the crusade. Are you with me? When we're in the village,
the Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
When we're in the village, the generator stopped working and Philip was about to die of hypertension. I called him. I said, we have seen all this before. Just calm down. We are going to have a great day today. But he didn't believe it. He wanted to. His blood pressure was up. I said, okay, you are not even going anywhere again. Sit down here and let's talk. Today is going to be the greatest night. He didn't believe it. Somehow the light sparked. Poof, poof. The bulbs were out and you could not see anymore. It was dark. And people were coming in droves from villages, coming in droves from places. And he wanted, I said, see, you are here. Sometimes I will see him, his mind has left. He's just like, then I tap him, he'll come back. I say, okay, yeah. Now, if the devil doesn't fight, it means that God, with me, we have arranged something. And God is not being magnified there. There's a prince in the world. And if you're going to stand for God, you will collide with him sometimes. The word wrestle in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 is okay. Have you done that thing before when you're in primary school where they draw one line and then some people hold your waist back and then you are trying to draw? Now, so that's what it is. Tug of war. Thank you, Jesus. So you draw the line and then you are trying to draw somebody over to your side. He is trying to move you from the spirit to come into the flesh. It's all, see, and in that tug of war, sometimes, if this side is so strong, they can even draw the people and they all of them will fall down. He wants to push you into the flesh. If you come into the flesh, he's the one that controls the environment of the flesh. He controls the instincts of the flesh. So he can lead you into slavery. But as long as you stay, that's what the Bible means by wrestle. There's a line. And there's this struggle to keep on your side. Keep where you are. If you are where you are supposed to be, the devil will not be relevant to you. So he will show up. And so he said, I'm your companion in tribulation. So at that point in time, the church was under persecution. And he was saying that, and God, it was God that allowed it in that season. And he was saying that I have also partaken of a fair share of the persecution that the body of Christ in this age is going through. Because for people that don't have this testimony, it means they have denied Christ somehow. You know, when the Kano riot came, some people will say, okay, we deny Christ today, then tomorrow we'll say, I am. Take me out, I am. Hallelujah. To escape tribulation. But these guys were suffering because they had a stand for Christ. Now, if because of pressure, you take a mold that is not God's ultimate mold, you have denied him. The truth is this, your ranking and stature in the realm of the spirit is depleting if you deny him. I was speaking to one of the sisters here. And there was a brother that came to her and said, oh, you know, the Lord spoke to me in the night vision. That is you or nothing or I die. And the relationship began. And suddenly the brother said, I was hypnotized by darkness. And it took off.
I told him that I told her that I've been a pastor for many years. That brother will still come back. We have seen it before, over and over. He keeps your call. He will still come back. But a man that has denied you before, don't follow him again, because he will do it again, and that time it will be more painful. If you have seen those tendencies before, don't follow him. Do you get it? So there were people like that that denied Christ. Do you think that God can hand over holy things to such? See. Have you checked your Bible critically? You will see five kinds of crowns in the New Testament. Have you checked? There are five different kinds of crowns. And the crowns that the New Testament speaks of are not crowns on the head, but they are medallions for athletes. Have you ever watched the Olympics? And somebody wins gold. It's not this kind of crown, but it's this kind of crown. Alright? It's a medal that has been won because of a good race, a good fight, a good cause. And there are five crowns mentioned in the New Testament. And one of the crowns is called the crown of life. And the crown of life is for people that endured persecution in their service to Christ. You have the option of backing out, but you say, I'm in a business. If I die, I die. Crown of life. There's a medallion for that. We don't have time to go into all of that, okay? Okay, this guy gives us his credentials. He says, I'm your companion in what tribulation. And when you see a man that, because of pressure, he backs out and takes a posture of, help me with the word, please. Help me, dude. I need a word now, the right word. Say, wait. Give me the word, okay? When somebody, a posture of compromise, when you see such a man, don't trust that man. It's not trustworthy. When you see him serving God, and then there's pressure, and then he compromises. Don't trust him. There was a mighty bishop that was in charge of Kano. And when the Kano riot came, the Muslims wanted to kill him. And then he now ran away to US for 2 years. And the explanation of his running away was that he went for Bible school. He came back with the American tongue. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But he had lost all stature. He printed all kinds of posters, but he couldn't do the will of God in that city anymore. All he has is his bishopric title. There's something called the crown of life. See, if you die, die for him. People die because of beer. Have you not seen those ones? Some people die because of palm wine in the village. If I must die, it will be more noble to die for Jesus. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. Now, so you will see his credentials there. He is a companion in tribulation. Our companion in the kingdom, and our companion in the patience of Jesus Christ. Hi. Okay, remind me 30 minutes to the end of the teaching, I will have to break these three things. Our companion in tribulation, our companion in the kingdom, and our companion in the patience of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's keep that, alright? Now, let me go into my teaching proper. So now that you have understood the background, let's move a step further. I want to take my sermon from verse 8. Verse 8. We can use 3 days discussing Revelation chapter 1 to verse 1 to verse 8. 3 days. Because I had so many questions there, and in prayer, God answered them and opened the scope of that book to me. In Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, John picks a prophecy from the mouth of Jesus. And it's as if Jesus gives us a definition, a revelation of himself. He says, I am what? Alpha and Omega, the beginning and what? The end. Move with me to Revelation chapter 9. I'm going to read from 9 to 11. And then we'll begin a journey. I want you to have a clear mind this morning. Very clear mind, because we'll be doing very critical Bible study. The Lord be praised in the name of Jesus Christ. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, please don't forsake the Bible. Please help me preach to your neighbor. Don't harbor any hidden sin in your life. Not now. It's no longer, see, it's not allowed now. This season that we are in. Tell the person, no hidden sin. No hidden sin. Be like an open book before God. Many times people compromise because of pressure. See, pressure doesn't kill anybody. It makes you better. It makes you more refined in God. It increases your stature in the spirit, and God can commit strong things into your hands. Revelation 1:9. He said, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, one of the things that John did not know, John did not understand that you could actually participate in heaven just like you participate in earth. He didn't know that. When he was on the Isle of Patmos, you know, there has been so much pressure. They have tried to kill him several times, tried to cut him off from civilization, tried to do so many things that did not work. And now he found himself on the Isle of Patmos. Hallelujah. And somehow, in his sojourning on Patmos, he began to hear the voice of a trumpet. And mysteriously, he could actually understand what the trumpet was saying. That it was a very tangible communication that was coming from the trumpet. Are you with me? Oh, you are not with me? Amen? Oh, please welcome my friend. Welcome. Welcome. Hallelujah. So John never knew that there could be such interaction between heaven and earth. And just as I said yesterday, God did not create heaven and earth and put a bronze ceiling in the firmament so that there will be no interaction. The way God created us is so that we can interact with heaven as we interact with earth. Heaven wants to interact with earth, and earth must interact with heaven so that there will be balance. It is the interaction between earth and heaven that is going to bring the will of God that is in heaven into the earth. Hallelujah. And it happens to be that we become the conduit pipe by which heaven can break out in the earth. And just as I was teaching yesterday and said that the rivers in heaven, we have the responsibility of letting them loose in the earth. And that's what Jesus meant when he said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall gush forth rivers of living waters. We connect with the rivers in heaven and we give release to them here on earth. John did not know that. But when he got to the Isle of Patmos, under serious and severe pressure, suddenly he began to hear a sound of a trumpet. And mysteriously, through discernment of spirit, he was able to get the articulate message that was being communicated through the trumpet blast. Are you with me now? He was able to pick it up. Because he called it a voice like a trumpet. It was actually a trumpet that was being blasted, but the trumpet was communicating in tangible language. And John was able to design it in that realm. Now, do you know, have you ever had a dream or a vision before? And when you woke up, the interpretation was in the realm. You picked it in the realm. Oh my God, you guys are... Has it happened to you before? You picked the interpretation in the realm. And when you came back to this realm, you came back with the dream, you came back with the interpretation. Because in that realm, there's a spirit of discernment that governs that realm. And when you break into that realm, you receive interpretation for the code of communication that takes place there. Amen? Now, you see, if we had had sufficient time, I wanted to do it before I left, but we didn't have so much time. I would have shown us that there are 12 things in heaven. And one of the things you come to realize that is in heaven is communication. There is a system of communication that is there. Because God is a speaking God. Is a legible God. Is literate. I'll show you times in scriptures where people receive letters and spread it out before God. I say, see! And then God began to act because God came and read it. Hallelujah. So God is literate. So when you receive a report from the doctors, you don't need to tell God that this what the is literally you can read. And but you see, there are some gods that are dumb. So you need to God will help us in the name of Jesus. God understands everything. You can spread it out. Hallelujah. And there's a communication system that operates in heaven. And when you begin to break into that realm, you begin to perceive the communication in that realm and discern the interpretation of that communication. That was the first thing that John began to break into on the Isle of Patmos. He began to hear the voice of a trumpet and he began to peak the understanding that was being communicated. Now, move with me quickly so that we can proceed. All right? And this was the articulate thing that was being communicated by the trumpet voice. It said, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Pergamos, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. He said, this prophetic signal that is going to come to you has relevance in all these territories. But you must understand who is speaking. Amen? You see, my question is this. Why is it that Jesus had to introduce himself to John? Because judging from scripture, if there was anybody that knew John, Jesus, it was John. Now, I want us to use the Gospels as a case study to understand what I'm trying to stress. Now, when we go to the book of Matthew, and we're trying to understand the spirit of the book of Matthew, you realize that there's a word that only Matthew uses in the entire Bible, and he uses it 33 times. It forms the Greek, you come to realize that that statement, the kingdom of heaven that we read in the King James Bible, in the Greek it reads the kingdom of the heavens. There's a plural for heavens. And the reason for the plural is that Matthew wants to bring you to understand where the dominion is coming from. Trying to make you understand that the dominion that we speak about in the book of Matthew is coming from the third heavens. And Jesus was the ambassador that brought the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens. And that is what we see in the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and Matthew chapter 7. He brings the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens. He brings the governmental policy structure that governs the third heavens where God's will is done. He's trying to import it into this realm. And so he uses that word over and over again because Matthew is a book that speaks about the kingdom of the heavens where Jesus is a king. And just as Moses had to ascend the mountaintop to bring the law, and the law is a legal statement by which governance will be brought to a people. So he went to the mountaintop to bring the law, and it was written upon tablets. When you get to the book of Matthew chapter 5, you're going to see that Jesus ascended the mountain just as Moses did, because he wanted to bring the law down. And the law that he brought down was the law that governs the kingdom of what? The heavens. And that's what the book of Matthew is all about. The book of Mark, when you see it, his nature, his style, his approach, his character, you come to see that the book of Mark was predicated on prophecy. That some prophetic scholars have checked the Bible and come to realize that the ministry of Jesus was a fulfillment of that which was written in the volume of the books. That means that even though Jesus came from heaven, Jesus did not have as much as the luxury of putting his own personal will to work. Because his life was already designed by prophecy. So he was bound by prophecy, indicative of the fact that he was a slave. Anybody that is not allowed to use his will is what? A slave. Oh, you are not with me. Whereas a servant can choose another master. He has the choice of another master. But a slave doesn't have that privilege. He's bound to one master in life and in death. And even his children too will serve that master and serve the children of that master. And it's a perpetual existence. And prophecy had made Jesus a slave. And he came to do the will of him that was written in the volume of the books. And so Mark sees Jesus as a slave, just carrying out that which was scripted. And he doesn't have the luxury of putting his own will to work. Do you get it now? And that's why the book of Mark was short. It's short. It's fulfillment. It's just showing you fulfillment. And you see, the book of Mark is full of miracles, of signs, and of wonders. Have you checked it? If you want to understand the secret of Jesus' miracle ministry, you have to go to the book of Mark and study. And see the way he operated. Those things he was not doing of his own will. It was already written down. It was an express manifestation. It was an embodiment of prophecy. That's what the book of Revelation now says, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, if we look critically at that word testimony, because it is used in different forms and it's a very widely used word. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And if we look critically at the Bible, the testimony of Jesus is in the Gospels. You get it? Now, that word spirit in that verse translates to life. It's the life of prophecy. That means in the gospel, prophecy came to life. You see? Oh, you're not with me. Okay, let me not bother you with theology. Hallelujah. Prophecy came to life. Prophecy was written in letters and spoken by prophets. But they saw it come alive when Jesus was manifested, because his testimony is the actual essence and life of prophecy. Because when we begin to talk about the gift of prophecy, many times people like the gift of prophecy because it has this tendency to predict in some dimensions of its operation. As we move from the simple gift of prophecy, which is to exhort, which is to correct, and to edify, hallelujah, and we move into on other levels of the gift of prophecy, where, just as it was written in the book of 1 Corinthians 13, that when Paul said that if I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all knowledge and all mysteries, it means that the development of the gift of prophecy should come to a point where it can unveil all knowledge and unveil all mystery. Amen? As wonderful as that gift is, we must understand that the true subject matter of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It brings alive what the prophet said about Jesus. Are you with me now? And we see that manifested in the book of Mark so vividly. By the time we come to the book of Luke, it's a book that was written by a doctor. So it's quite intellectual. It's quite logical. Quite strategic. Quite different. The nature and character of that book is different from the other gospels. Because in the book of Luke, Jesus is the epicenter of that book. It's a book of the universal grace of God that considers the fact that Jesus was the substitute of the human race that stood to satisfy the claims of divine justice. Hallelujah. And so in the book of Luke, you're going to see strange parables. The parables of the lost. The lost coin, the lost son, the lost sheep. The coin was lost, he knew it was lost, he could not do anything about it being lost. The sheep was lost, he knew. No, coin was lost, he did not know it was lost, he couldn't do anything about it being lost. Sheep was lost, knew it was lost, couldn't do anything about it being lost. Son was lost, knew it was lost, and he could do something about it being lost. But in any way of loss, any kind of loss that you are experiencing, the Bible reveals that God can save to the uttermost. That's what is being viewed in the book of Luke. But by the time we get to the book of John, it's a deep book. It's a theological display, theological approach, attempt to actually decipher the person of divinity. Because it begins by saying that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Stop there. In all the Bible, among all the people that were given the privilege to see into eternal past, John was the one that was given the greatest privilege to see into eternal past. He saw farthest into eternal past than any other personality. And that was in the book of John chapter 1 verse 1. And when he saw that there was a member in the Godhead that was a strategic member of the Godhead, and all the activities of the Godhead revolve around this member, his name being the Word of God, he now set out to study God, but he wanted to study God from the standpoint of that member of the Godhead called the Word of God. In attempting to study that member of the Godhead, he did not have enough research materials. So he now decided to lower his research, to study that member of the Godhead from the standpoint of his life. For in him was life. And this life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness cannot understand. So the book of John was focused on studying that member of the Godhead called the Word from the standpoint of his life. So that's why the book of John is a book of life. It studies the dimensions and the colors, the brilliance of the divine life in his multifarious displays as manifested in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, if we need a half a year to study the book of John, actually. Because there are two courses that book carries. And it's a deep book. And it's a book that will enrich your relationship with God. Because Jesus practiced the life of God and manifested the life of God. And if you want to grow and participate in the life of God deeply, you must understand and see the expression and the example of Jesus and the depth of intimacy and reality that he sustained. And all of that is captured in the book of John. When we get to the book of John chapter 30, John chapter 21, John chapter 20, you come to realize that John came to the end of his book. In my own opinion, John chapter 21 was not supposed to be in the Bible. Because John had concluded everything he was researching about in the book of John chapter 20. Can we turn there so that I will reveal to you that if there was anybody that knew Jesus at all, it was John the Beloved. Why would Jesus come to the Isle of Patmos and reintroduce himself to John? Friends, our generation need an reintroduction of Jesus. See, oh my God. Amen. Are you with me? Our generation needs a reintroduction of Jesus. Most of what we carry about God has been stained and eroded by human philosophy and so many kinds of things. And so Jesus does not mind to reintroduce himself to you afresh, leaving out all the traditions and religions that people have built into that revelation that have obscured the understanding of God. And you see, he comes to the Isle of Patmos to meet his beloved friend John, and he wants to reintroduce himself. Because if John doesn't get to receive that reintroduction and to understand it accurately from the perspective from whence he's bringing it, John cannot be ushered to his next phase of ministry. See, we are at a point in the body of Christ now where if this reintroduction does not succeed, our generation will not be able to move into the next plane. We must be able to understand these things. Something that God is doing across the earth, across the globe. And I'm going to show you as much as I know. For even the best of us preach in part and prophesy in part. But the part that God has given me, I will give you. But you see, your eyes need to be enlightened to understand the days in which we live, because I've come to realize that even the people that know God very well know that they can miss him suddenly. I've come to realize that. And among those people, I'm not numbering myself. Even the people that know God very well have realized that they can miss him and still be active in ministry. Because by the time I went to Lagos and I discovered, I checked the texture of ministries with respect to the spirit that operates in the territory. And I found out that 90% of ministries in Lagos have the same texture of the environmental prince. Their ministries have been configured by the environmental nature that principalities and powers have imparted into the territory. That's not a ministry. The kingdom of God is not speaking from there. Because if the kingdom of God should exist in a place, it has its own culture, it has its own educational system, it has its own value system, it will be different from the world. And it will be different. See, there are different spirits in different territories, but everywhere the kingdom of God is found, it is always crystal clear from the system that operates in that place. Lagos is driven by a mighty spirit of Mammon. And you see, everybody in 5 a.m. I wanted to enter a bus. There was hold up. I thought I came early so that I would make it to the office by 8 o'clock. 5 a.m. I showed up. I was late. Where are you going by 5? Did you speak to God before you came out? And every man is on the way and they are coming back by 10:30. Yawning. Then they'll just eat bread, drink milk, and sleep with their shoes. Tomorrow again. That spirit has configured the land. It's more difficult to break through the spiritual traffic of that land because I've been modeled like that for years. And I need to tell you that the princes that operate there are very strong. Now, most churches preach wealth in Lagos and prosperity. That's the texture of the land. If a kingdom is coming into a place that is contrary to an existing kingdom, it will have a different character. Every ministry in Lagos that majors in that wealth teaching does not understand what God wants to do there. Pastor Kumi, in my own little understanding, he's a man of God. For him to do what he did there, God has sent him. I pray that men like that will live longer so that the younger generation will be able to learn one or two things from him. But most of the people you call great are not great. Go to the churches. Go to the churches in Lagos. You'll find out that only about 10% of ministries in Lagos are concerned about discipling people to maturity. If not, we have churches that want to raise businessmen. That's their own vision. Meanwhile, when you look at the Bible, Jesus and the apostles are examples. The direction and the emphasis of their teaching was in the same plane. And you cannot have a different revelation and orientation that is different from that apostolic pattern that has been set in motion in the Bible. You will be constituting a platform for error and leading people to a place that God is not leading them. And the purpose of God will not be accomplished by that kind of ministry. Alright? Because of the spirit of immorality that operates in this land and witchcraft and all of that, any ministry that is not strong in bringing the true divine perspective as to things of conviction, things of participating in God to the point of even accepting the tribulation that is part of that package so that people can live in distinctiveness from the world. If in this territory, that is a social club where devotion to God, where separation from the world, is not grounded into the lives of men. When men are not trained to be able to uphold the spirit of prayer in this territory, it's a social club. It's causing more damage than good. Sorry, I speak from my office. And I speak with the authority that Jesus has given me to operate therein. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, you see, we need a reintroduction of Jesus. People won't come to church in Lagos weekdays. They are in the bank. But on Sunday, all of them will come with tambourine. Bega, oh, I don't know how they sing that. Bega. Bega. With tambourine. Everyone is singing. Even if there's no spirit in the atmosphere. There have been worship. People are used to worship without the Holy Ghost. For you to break through that spiritual traffic, you must find your bearing and stand on a pedestal that cannot be shaken. The forces there are terrible and wicked. Hallelujah. You see, Jesus needs to reintroduce himself. If there was anybody that knew Jesus, it was John. Because this perspective from whence he drew his theology was a perspective of intimacy and depth. No wonder the Bible said he was the apostle that put his ear upon Jesus' breast. Indicating of the fact that he was able to hear some secrets that the other people that wrote the Gospels did not hear. His book was a book that engenders intimacy. When Jesus was on the cross, it was to John he committed his mother. He said, "Woman, behold your son. You are dying." He said, "Okay. Pastor Ezekiel, that damn said, let her not cry. That's what you use your last breath to say." It means you have a covenant going with that man. And that was who John was. But when Jesus showed up on the Isle of Patmos, Jesus had to reintroduce himself to John again. That one, I cannot understand it. Because John, in the Gospel of John, turn with me quickly. In the Gospel of John, John actually brought his book to a close and we saw what he was gunning at from the instance. In the book of John chapter 20, we see that. Friends, I pray that we will really be the remnant that will bring salt, that will begin bring taste and preserve. See, it's a high calling. It's a call upon a generation. I pray that you will receive it and live for it. If something drastic does not happen, the spirit of apostasy, like a wild octopus, wants to cover the entire territory. And that's why anyone that speaks the truth at this point in time is a prey. Because the devil can take all truth out of the way. People will live in an environment where the price tag has been changed. And everything that is in that civilization is a matrix. In John chapter 20. It's easy to get people into a church in Lagos if you have the miraculous ministry and you are committed to solving problems and blessing people's pocket, blessing. Don't be concerned about where they came from to come to church. You are going back. You ride. In fact, it will flow. That mammon will flow. You too, you will know that with that anointing, you are worshiping the mammon. And so, if you go to Lagos, don't attend church anyhow. Because you might be in a shrine and not know it. And when you come back to call on God, you might discover that you are light years behind. The Lord will help you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, come with me to the book of John chapter 20 as I try to... You see, I've not been able to successfully introduce what I want to say. The time is far spent. John 20, are you with me? In John 20, John has come to the end of his book. How do I know this? Because Jesus came, appeared to his apostles after he had resurrected from the dead. And when he appeared to his apostles, Thomas was not there. And when the other apostles began to tell Thomas that they have seen Jesus, Thomas did not believe them. And Thomas said, "Wait, I have my own way of verifying stuff. If I put my hand by the side, I see the print of the nails, and I feel the texture. I understand the design that the nails made on his hand. If I see that same configuration, and it's not altered in any sense, I will know this is not counterfeit. This is Jesus. I have my own way." So after 8 days, I don't have time to tell us why 8 days. Jesus, the apostles were in a hall and the doors were shut. Jesus appeared in their midst and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he went to Thomas. It means he came there because of Thomas. And it took 8 days to come. He came to Thomas and he continued the service from where the service stopped. After the apostles communicated to Thomas that he had come, and Thomas denied, he continued the meeting from that point. "Peace unto you." Then he went to Thomas and said, "Put your hand now, touch here." Thomas now shouted, "My Lord and my God." That was where Thomas gave his life to Christ. Thomas gave his life to Christ because he touched something and he saw something. Well, because he was chosen by God's grace of divine election to be an apostle of the Lamb, somehow Jesus obliged him and gave him that privilege. He said, "Thomas, now you have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those that have not seen but yet believe." Amen? Are you with me? Then the Bible reveals that many other signs Jesus did, which are not written in this book. It means the guy has finished his book. And he's telling us about the content of this book. He didn't write. There were many other things to write. But now that Thomas has believed, there's no need to write more. Because Thomas is a strange man. And if this content alone had brought Thomas to salvation, he will bring every normal man to salvation because Thomas was not normal. There's no need to add to it. No need to add. He said, these ones that are written so that you will believe that Jesus is the Christ. I did my research and I found out that that personality called the Word that became flesh is Jesus, and he carries the divine life. And the good news I bring to you is that if you believe on him, you become a partaker of that life. The man has finished his book. Alright, did you get it? Then he was taken into the printers when there was a record that Jesus appeared again. They were printing it out. Then, why did Jesus appear in the book of John chapter 21? Because one of the apostles was backsliding. He had lost the reality of Christ and he was backsliding. And then Jesus came for a rescue strategy. So, John chapter 21 is a rescue strategy. There's no new doctrine, no new revelation, nothing. It's just Jesus rescuing a fallen apostle. And then John now added that one to the glossary of the book. They didn't know where to put it, so they just put chapter 21. Now, do you know the revelation I get from this? If at any point in time your perception of Jesus begins to dwindle, chapter 21 will be added to your life. Your life, your destiny. Chapter 21, they will look for, put chapter. You begin to, a page will open in your life which was not part of destiny. But angels will have to record it all the same. And it will give rise to chapter. I pray that your life will be predicated upon an accurate perception and revelation of this man, Jesus. I said that in the book of Revelation, Jesus is the revelator and Jesus is the revelation. And so Jesus smuggles a revelation to his friend. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I want to reveal to us why a church will start, a ministry will start with God and die after 10 years. It is still numerically strong, but is spiritually dead. And just in case you get to pastor, just in case you get to operate in any capacity of leadership, in the kingdom of God, there is an understanding you must be armed with. Lest you become that pastor. That in your day of pastoring, Jesus will be locked out and will be knocking the door. The Lord give you understanding in Jesus' name. You know, we are used to camp meetings. Every December, you travel. See. Let me stop. Because before you say I attack things too much, I just pop, 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 pop. Let's go gradually in the book. Can we go back to Revelation? I'll just go for 30 minutes now. That's the message I want to bring to us. It's in Revelation chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. I'll just move in it for 30 minutes and then we'll see. What is the meaning of the Alpha Omega? What does it mean when Jesus said, I am the Alpha? And because if you don't get this revelation, anything you do will be time-based. Is not carrying the touch of eternity. It will reign for a while and die. And so you must understand the revelation of Alpha and Omega. In the Greek rendering, it does not read Alpha and Omega. In the Greek rendering, it reads Alpha Omega. There's no and there. That means I'm beginning, end, and I'm AZ, and I'm first, last. And to surprise you to know that he is first last at the same time. Not that he will be first today and last tomorrow. He will be A today, he will be Z tomorrow. He's saying that I'm AZ, I'm beginning end, I'm first last. Now that's an operation or a reality that is not time induced. And so your mind is weak in trying to consider that state of existence. Why? Because it's a description of that which can only hold within the context of eternity. A realm wherein there is no time. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you coming with me? So that name is not a time-based name, it's an eternity-based name. And Jesus wanted to deliver John from the knowledge of him that he has acquired in time. Because everything that John had known about Jesus at this point in time was time-based for 33 years and all of that. 3.5 years of ministry going around with Jesus. And he wrote about Jesus and spoke about Jesus. And his understanding of Jesus was Jesus of Nazareth. That's time-based. And Jesus wanted to take him beyond that limitation, because if he operates in that revelation, his reality will not be touched. Because he will not know that Jesus existed before the day he was born on earth. He will not know that Jesus lives without end. And a lot of things will be wrong with that perspective if he doesn't get to see the full scope of his reality. Because it's when you understand that God is Alpha Omega, that Jesus is Alpha Omega, that's when you begin to understand that that revelation that he was bringing to John was God's presence through all the ages. Oh, Jesus. How can we do this thing? Okay, let's go to 1 Peter. Can we go to 1 Peter? Follow me. We'll just go for 30 more minutes and I'll bring the session to a close, maybe. And then this evening, I've been expecting my friend to come. When I'm done, he'll continue. As the Spirit of God will help you people, he will just continue. Amen. In Jesus' name. Now, please look upon your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. Please follow it carefully. He says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ. Please understand, underline the Spirit of Christ in your Bible if it's not borrowed. Please underline. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us did they minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Okay. Now, hey, Jesus. The Bible says that when prophets were giving inspired speeches, inspired statements, and they declared it in the Old Testament, many times they tried to understand what they said, and understanding was not granted them. The only consolation that God gave to them was that the things they were saying was not unto their generation, was unto a generation that was distant in the future, and because of that they had no need to understand what they were saying. But it was the Spirit of Christ that was upon them that was making them speak. That means in the revelation of Christ as Alpha Omega, we see God's presence through every age. So there were some guys that the Spirit of Christ was upon. They declared some things. They tried to know what they were declaring. He didn't allow them. Even angels decided they wanted to peep into those mysteries. But the language was not such that they could understand. The Bible says the same things that people that have preached the gospel to you have affirmed. But the difference between the prophets of old and them that declare the gospel to you is that they are declaring the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. It means that the ministry of Christ has become open to for men to interact with in that day. So they have understood that which the prophets could not understand. It's the same dominion of God that have been moving through the ages, and is the same dominion of God that's been proclaimed through the apostles that brought the gospel to you. But the difference is that they are doing it with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Not the Holy Ghost that came upon them to activate them, but this time the Holy Ghost has come down from heaven and is in the earth now, has stayed here in the hearts of men. So the purposes that were concealed from the prophets that declared have been revealed, and that is what has formed the content of the gospel. Is an understanding of those secrets that God has unveiled that we have today as the gospel, which is being preached to you. Do you understand? God has been doing that thing for ages. But there was a time that he decided to bring the understanding, because the Holy Spirit had come down from heaven. Hallelujah. So when he was telling John about the revelation of Alpha Omega, he was talking about God's presence through every age, God's presence through every generation. And until you perceive him from the standpoint of his eternal reality, you will not be able to understand that he has always been reaching out in his dominion all this while till this day. If you don't get to understand that, your ministry and your life will not be connecting to an eternal dominion that is being released. Your ministry and life will be captured on a revelation. And that revelation, as long as it's still relevant, you'll be relevant. And then when God moves into another gear, you will stop there and you'll gather crap. Are you with me? Okay. So if you don't understand that revelation as the Alpha Omega and the implication and consequence, most of what you do will be time-based. And you'll not even understand the purpose of time. Because it was when that revelation came out that we don't understood what the purpose of time was. I'll show you what the purpose of time actually is. I have 30 minutes to do that. And then you now see what God is doing in all of time. He's doing one thing in all of time. And that major pivotal thing that he's doing is connected to the unfolding of his eternal program. And every day that broke, God was doing it. Every sun that set, God was doing it. Every year that rolled by, that's what God was doing. And the truth is this, he will arrive at his end. And until you understand this revelation, you will not be a vital part of the unfolding manifestation of God's dominion in the earth. Notice that in the book of Revelation chapter 1 where we read. It's an affliction to be using this microphone. In the book of Revelation chapter 1 where we read, I want you to be conscious of something. What I want you to be conscious of is the fact that it was when John was able to capture the revelation as of Christ as Alpha Omega that he was ushered into the next phase of his ministry. Oh, you don't get it. Let's go back to Revelation. Before I take you back to some other books of the Bible, and then you'll be able to see the things that I'm speaking about. Are you still here? Revelation 1. Amen? Okay. Jump to Revelation 1:17. He said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said unto me, Fear not, I am the first and what? The last." Still the revelation. Notice that when these revelations began to come, it were revelations that were not factored into the thinking processes of man. And John was going gaga. John could not take again. And John fell down like a dead man. And then Jesus came and laid hands on him. He parted strength and raised him up. I thought that Jesus would change the message. I said, okay, this one is too hard for you. Let me change it. He raised him up when John said, me, I am the first last. The pressure was much on John. He had to learn things quickly to upgrade because he was going to become obsolete. And Jesus had to lay hands on him, revived him, and say, I am the first last. And I think John began to perceive it. And when John began to perceive it, he said, within the context of me being the first last, then you can understand that I am he that was living. Alright? I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. If you don't understand that I'm first last, you may not know that death actually cannot kill me. Death can't end me because I began before death came. So death cannot put an end to my existence and my reality. And then he began to perceive more. He said, yes, once you knew I died, but I lived before death came in the first place. And that's why death could not hold me down. That if you walk with me, death will have no sting upon you. What? The man now began, he's catching. Then in verse 19, as he began to understand, he was now commissioned for another level of ministry. This is the level of ministry he cannot do without this understanding, without this revelation. He now said, write the things which thou hast seen. What is that? Past tense. Can you see that now? And the things which are, what is that? Present tense. And the things which shall be thereafter, what is that? Future. That means John was coming to an accurate profile of prophetic ministry, where his writings will be on the plane of Alpha Omega. It will give testament to the past. It will give insight into the present. It will give foresight into the future. That kind of writing is not time-based. That kind of writing is eternal in nature. And it will speak to every generation. And it will be commanding the dominion of the eternal king even long after John had finished his work on earth. Because he built with the tools of immortality. He transmitted for a realm that did not begin. So those writings cannot end. You get it? So you can do any ministry you do without a revelation of Alpha Omega. Anything you do on earth without that revelation will make your life time-based. And it will not strike a chord in eternity. And there are several levels in God that you cannot be granted access to if you don't understand and operate within the scope of the understanding of this revelation. Say the revelation won't change. Even if you are falling on the ground, rise up. I am first last. That's why death could not be my end. Because I existed before death came. Then this man is seeing something. This man is now commissioned as God's stenographer to begin to write prophetic things that connects the past to the present and to the future. You must understand that the prayers of Daniel and the writings of Daniel precipitated when he yielded himself to the prophecy of Jeremiah, a prophet of a previous generation. He was able to collect a batting from Jeremiah. But there was a lot of generational time gap between them. But it was Daniel that continued after Jeremiah, even though they did not live in the same century. Because the Alpha and Omega is doing something through the ages. And the batting can come from 1900. And a man in this generation that connects to that revelation can pick that batting up and continue that dominion right here. And when the man finishes, what he built had no touch of human hands upon it. It was with the immortality. So he could go beyond him and continue. That's the eternal kingdom. And only people that understand this plane can function that way. Am I troubling you with too many things this morning? Okay, let me end. Since you are not, it's a long journey. I would have shown you some things that if you don't see, I will show you a man that is blind from the Bible. Hallelujah. And the truth is, I'm of the opinion that, you know, in spiritual issues, I'm not emotional. Okay? Like at this point in time, if I sit under a blind pastor, it's not God's fault, it's my fault. At this time, you go, I sit a man that is blind, and then it's not God's fault. And that's why there's need for illumination. Now let me bring one or two things and then I close and sit down. Amen? Did you get it to that point? I'm the first class. That's the troublesome aspect of ministry. When God wants to connect you to that revelation of the Alpha Omega, many people decide to stay where they were. And they don't transit. And unfortunately, most of what we have called ministry in our nation has not experienced that transition. And that's why anytime maybe a founder, a set man is about to go to be taken to the Lord, there's always problem. Oh, and all of that. And transition is so difficult because there are many factors and interests. You are building something that is of the earth. And that's why there's so much problem. Hey, this and that. And many times when the set man goes, the work dies. If the set man goes and the work dies, the set man was not building anything. Because if it's God's eternal dominion that is being proclaimed and is being propagated, 100 years, 500 years after he had died, the impact of his work is still in the earth. Maybe not in the form of a building, but that dominion that his life brought is still raising people to God today. It's still a connecting cable. That revelation that his life brought is still a connecting cable that is still making men access God accurately today and bringing balance into faith and their walk with God. It means that that man brought some things in the earth, which he used tools that are not of the earth. He used tools that he received when he interacted with heaven. I'm going to stop. But I want to give you an assignment to do some stuff. Amen? So that you understand these kind of people that operate like this, how do they live? And then you'll be able to see whether your life is within the scope of that reality. John Hus, in the year 1415, was being tied to the stake. He was a Roman Catholic priest, and he got saved while reading the Bible and started preaching the gospel, which was contrary to what was prevalent in the Roman Catholic Church. And because of that, he committed the ultimate crime, which was blasphemy, and the sentence for that crime was that he would be burned, tied to the stake and burned alive. And just before he died, he prophesied. His name, Hus, in the Bohemian language means a geese. Abi? Goose is singular. Oh, okay, goose. Or duck. Let's use duck. You know duck. He said, today you want to burn this dock. But the time will come 100 years later from today, there's going to be a swan. A swan of docks that you cannot boil or roast. That means you have killed me. But the spirit of that which I brought into this territory will rise again. For a man to speak like that, he must have an understanding of the fact that Jesus is Alpha Omega. There's an eternal scope to his reality. And his dominion that we carry is not a time-based dominion. So that which your life will bring will be the basis for which God will align a man's call to continue from where you stopped. Even though you people did not meet physically, but in the spirit of Christ that was upon the prophets, something that began 1,000 years ago can still find continuance in this day if all of us know him as the Alpha Omega. 100 years later, in the year 1716, Martin Luther rose up. And Martin Luther, with his pen, he laid a blow on the Roman Catholic Church that could not be quenched. It was his ministry that fragmented that octopus and brought liberty. It happened exactly 100 years later. And the truth of the matter is this. Martin Luther did not necessarily read that history before it happened. He connected to the Alpha Omega. And there was a statement, a dominion statement that had to be fulfilled in the realm. And that grace was poured upon him. And he began to carry it out. It was when he had already carried it out that he now read that prophecy. That this thing was said, and he wrote in his writings that he has no doubt that the swan that who spoke about. How come those people fulfill prophecies like that? They didn't get to read the prophecies. They had no knowledge of it. But they tapped into it and they brought it to pass. It was because they were operating on a profile, on a revelation that was not time-based. It was eternity-based. I am Alpha, what? Omega. I want to live a life upon the face of the earth. That when I'm done and I'm finished, hallelujah, and my days on earth are cut off, that dominion that was proclaimed through my life will still be in the earth. That is what immortality is, not the one that Kobos preached. If you still have this thing, you will die. This one, flesh and blood. Kobos say, he will not die. Meanwhile, they brought him from cancer hospital lately. At least it would have told him that this flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. He had changed the Bible many times, in the interpretation of the Bible many times, to suit the fact that everything in the book of Revelation is accomplished now. We're just waiting for immortality to come upon us, to be clothed with immortality. That's not what immortality means. It's not the ability to live in this flesh for long. If God knew that we could actually live in this flesh forever, he would not create another tabernacle. That tabernacle is on your inside now. You are wearing it inside. But this one is of this world, and it will go to this world. Are you with me? So he's teaching some strange things and all of that, but corruption is still operating in his body. The fact that you operate in the healing anointing doesn't mean that you'll not be sick. In fact, you need to even live a very balanced life. Definitely. Headache will worry you too. As you are praying for those people and they are being healed, headache will still, bam. So you too, you will deal with it. It's because there's corruption in this body. But immortality means when you, something that is in heaven, you carry that thing and transmit it without adding the flesh. That which you transmitted will not fall to the ground like that. It will not die. It must continue in its course until it fulfills the mission for which it was transmitted. And worthy men of old were able to carry holy things like that and transmit it. Generations later, it fell upon people and it began to operate in the earth again. And the devil saw that same thing that destroyed his kingdom find expression. How come the anointing of Elijah was able to come upon John the Baptist in several generations later? And John the Baptist never saw Elijah. But when the anointing came upon him, he began to dress. Even his dressing was like that of Elijah. Think about it. Do you read the Bible and think? It was a leather bed. The same thing that Elijah was wearing. Or the same thing John the Baptist began to wear. John the Baptist never saw Elijah, but the same spirit that was upon Elijah made John the Baptist what it made Elijah in another generation. Because there was a situation on ground that only the spirit of Elijah could tackle. And that anointing had to come upon another man, and it made that another man the same thing like the first man that carried that mantle. One of the things that God is doing in this day and time is that there are mantles in the spirit that men of old have used. Bringing them back, and people are going to connect to it. But if you don't understand the dimension of Alpha Omega, you might still be running a race with so much compassion, motivated in wrong things, and you'll be missing out of the dominion of God that is in the realm of the spirit. I would have taken us further to show us step by step what exactly and what was the lifestyle of these people that had this kind of revelation, just to give us a basis of considering the fact whether or not our lives are within range or not. This is the time that we need to be friendly with Scripture. To call upon the Spirit of truth to guide us into all truth. So that our lives will be ordered. And our lives will produce a dominion which is not of the earth, which is not of this world, but which is of heaven. Can we pray? Can you rise on your feet so that we'll pray? Sorry, I couldn't go too far today. But the good Lord will help us. He will help us. Oh. Hallelujah. Now, you see, I just found that somebody said, you said we should remind you about companion in tribulation. Companion in the kingdom. Companion in the patience of Jesus Christ. Now, so sit down. You know, maybe the next time you see me again, it will be a very long time. So let me give you all I have now. Hallelujah. That time I'll be on leave. So for 1 month, we'll be teaching the Bible. If you can stay morning till night, till morning. If you can come. If you can't come, no problem. But you'll be flowing in like that. Because the level of deception now is strong. The devil is on rampage. He wants to cut us out. But it's our duty to fellowship in truth and to walk in the light so that we will not stumble. Hallelujah. So we spoke about, John said he was our companion in tribulation. And we said it, that in every territory you find yourself, there is a prince that governs that territory. And he is called the prince of the power of the air. I checked the air in Greek languages. The ayim. That's what it is in Greek. And in Greek, it actually reveals that the prince that controls the potentials of the, we have atmosphere, all those lithosphere, ionosphere, that prince controls all the potentials of the atmosphere, the lithosphere, the ionosphere, and all the spheres. For instance, the devil can send you, can mustard thunder and send to your house. That potential is in the atmosphere and it can take advantage of it. You know, people that do witchcraft, they can send you witchcraft thunder. Hallelujah. You have never heard of witchcraft thunder before. Sometimes go to the village, stay for 2 weeks. Stay there for two weeks. This prince can muster all the potential that is in the atmosphere and use it to fulfill his purpose. That is to say that if you are going to be a man of God, a man that is standing for the dominion of Christ, you are operating in a different kingdom than that kingdom. But it happens to be that this king has some little authority. He can manifest some authority. Some things are under his dominion and rule. And he can use them under permission from the ultimate one. He can use them to resist you. So you can be in an office, and there's an office of corruption, and because you say that your kingdom does not allow for corruption, and you will not be part of the chain of bribe, and then people begin to fight you. So you must understand that in chemistry, there is a molecule called a graviton. Are you here? A graviton always moves in a straight line. Whereas we have random mix-upness and enthalpy, and all other molecules move haywire. They just move like that. A graviton always moves in a straight line. And it happens to be that when the graviton sustains its motion, the molecular environment will take an orientation around the graviton. That was how Daniel was. Daniel was in Babylon. Babylon is more occultic than any place in Nigeria. And in that place, Daniel decided to be a graviton. He decided to focus on God and to remain with God. He was an apostle. Entered into a hidden nation. He broke into that nation, brought the dominion of God, and the king had to adopt his God as the sovereign God of heaven. Because he was a graviton. He refused to break, he refused to bend, he refused to run away. And he stood his ground, even when there was a legislation against his posture. That's a graviton. Alright? And then when persecution came, his God arose and stood for him. And then they knew that God was stronger than the entire kingdom. So the king, by decree, proclaimed that every man should worship the God of Daniel. Daniel won a nation because he refused to shift ground. So if you are going to be a companion in tribulation, you are going to be a man that will stand your ground in a place where the darkness has colonized and satanic education has prospered. and you come with the value system of a different kingdom and you stand your ground, at first they will fight you. At first tribulation will come to you. But if you stand long enough, the entire atmosphere will take a shape that is accommodated or that is ordained and initiated by your design. If a righteous man stands long enough, the corruption will die. If the man of God stays to his integrity long enough, the environment will begin to change. And if one man, Daniel, could change the entire Babylon with all his gods and all the fortresses of darkness that were built there, one man could bring about a revolution, then you can bring about a change also. So there's tribulation in standing with Christ. And that's one of the things that were revealed to us in the book of Matthew chapter 5, when he said, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's part of the kingdom creed. If you are going to stand for the kingdom, you are going to experience persecution. Because the prince of the power of the air will want to draw you to his side by using tribulations and using circumstances to come your way. But if you stand your ground, in that context, you are permitted to be stubborn. Stand your ground. You can even use your father. You can use your father and say, you, this and that. Stand your ground. If you stand your ground long enough, the people in that world will bow to your God. That all nations will serve the God of Daniel. Because he decided to stand his ground even when the entire atmosphere was offensive to his reality. First of all, secondly, he was a companion in the kingdom. Somebody say companion in the kingdom. What it means to be a companion in the kingdom is a man that is under the authority of Christ. Now, you notice something that the Bible reveals. Amen? The Bible reveals that a man that is operating in the fruit of the Spirit, that against such a man, no law can convict him. The reason why the Bible said that is because if you are used to operating by the laws of God, the laws of man will be simple for you to keep. I mean, if you go to Abuja or go to Lagos, you will see cities that they use street light. You will find so many people, they can't stop for street light. The street light is red, but he's moving. And he said, man, I was smart, man. But what he was doing there, manifesting the fact that he is not subject to any form of government. Are you such a man that when God on the inside of you is saying, stop, stop, don't talk anymore, don't talk anymore, don't talk anymore, you still say, you know me, you know me? That man that is lawless, that man that is not subject to the kingdom of Christ in his spirit, is not such a man that John was. John had gone through the process, had gone through the motion, and had come to a point where he was fully under the authority of the kingdom of Christ that was breaking forth in his spirit. Such a man is referred to in the Bible as a man that operates in the kingdom of heaven in reality. What I mean by that is that his life is under the dominion of the third heavens. That's where the government that orchestrates his existence comes from. And you will notice that he is different from a man that is in this world. Because a different government controls him. He is distinct from a man that was raised by the philosophy of this age. Because a different government controls him. John was such a man that was blended into the government of the kingdom of God. And when God says stop, John will stop. When God says go, God will go. When, you know, and many times God will ask you to do things that will hurt you and things that are not compatible with your flesh. He will tell you things that you will die inside of you to do. He was such a man that was under the kingdom of God. Amen. And it's not only harsh things the kingdom of God wants you to do. Sometimes the kingdom of God will also, inside of you, you just feel like God wants you to pray and you are weak. John was such a man that will wake up with the weakness. Because the only thing he's living for is to obey the king. And he would sit down and say, okay, if you supply the strength, I will pray. The strength is not with me, it's with you. If you can bring the strength, I'm going to pray. And our lives in an increasing measure must be synchronizing with the authority of the king on our inside. As to the extent to which you perceive his will. Sometimes his will is explicit in simple, plain language. In the language in which you think. His word comes to you. His voice comes to you. Some other times you just feel as if God doesn't want me to eat today. And that feeling, as you call it, is a decree, a command. John is saying that I'm such a man. And even if I as much as perceive it so slightly that this is what God wants me to do, I'll be doing it before I verify if it's Him that wants me. I'm your companion in the kingdom. And then finally he said, I'm your companion in the patience of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. There is a pattern that Jesus revealed to us. There's a pattern that he revealed to us when he was upon the cross. When he was upon the cross, he made a statement. He said, I can at this moment now pray the Father and he will send 12 legions of angels and they will bring me down. That means that he had the ability to decide to stop the process that was going on. The process did not go on because he was a wimp. The process went on because he had submitted to the patience that was in the kingdom. If we go to the book of Revelation chapter 10, you are going to see, here is the patience of the saints. He made a statement like that. He said, he that kills with the sword shall die by the sword. Somebody help me. Somebody, can somebody help me quickly? Revelation. Let's just get that scripture now. Hallelujah. I know it is in verse 13, but I cannot tell which chapter it is. Oh my God. Is it in chapter 13? Let's get that scripture quickly. 9:13. Oh my. All my metrics have failed. Somebody help me with that scripture. He that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. Okay, where's Boniface? Dan, go and check that thing on the computer. Check it quickly so that we can get it. I want to read that scripture to us. There's something called the patience of Jesus Christ. And every one of us must have to possess it. Must walk with it. And I trust that the Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Okay, what? No, I'm not. Don't give me the Matthew version. He's quoting that scripture. The scripture I'm asking for is in the book of Revelation. If your Bible is a chain reference Bible, who has chain reference here? Okay, check that Matthew. It will link you to another scripture, to Revelation, and then get the Revelation counterpart. Let's read to the house. Good. I said it's 13. I know that there's 13 there. Okay, Revelation 13:10. Who can help us with the reading now? He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. And then he now added that statement, here is the patience and what? The faith of the saints. Now, do you know the meaning of that scripture? That scripture is revealing to us that God put something in iniquity. That will make iniquity destroy itself. You get it? So if you can just be patient, that plot against you will self-destruct. Do you understand? You don't get me. He said, he that kills with the sword. Those witchcraft people killing people, your family. He said, you just with this knowledge, arm yourself with this knowledge that he that leadeth into captivity shall himself go into captivity. And he that kills with the sword shall himself be killed with the sword. So because of this, arm yourself with this truth and equip yourself with patience. But because there are several prayers you are going to pray. Lord, let this man die. He will not die that time. What you need is what? Just be patient. Because in the iniquity that he is doing, the iniquity will make him self-destruct. So he calls for the patience and what? The faith of the saints. And so John is saying, I'm your companion in all this. There are several times like that that people come and do some things, evil things to you, and you expect that God will kill them. I did good things to several people sometimes, and in response to the good I did, they dealt with me. I expected thunder from heaven too. You know when they went to that city and they were rejected, and the sons of thunder told Jesus, let us call fire. The reason why Jesus did not oblige them was because in the rebellion of that city, the city was self-destructive. It continues in it. So we don't need to add to the situation. Leave them. They will self-destruct. This is the patience of the saints. Even though I must add here that there are several times in prayer, God commands you to rain judgment on some people. So don't become religious. You will need to balance every truth so that you will live accurately. But that judgment is only relevant if it's God that instructed you to begin to deal it out. Because if it's not God, you rain the judgment, it won't work. And at the end of the day, it will require patience of the saints for you to see that iniquity will self-destruct. You get it? So me, I don't posture myself to be the instrument of vengeance. I just say, well, anything you do, it doesn't affect my destiny. And if it kills me, no problem, because if God allows, I'm here and I'm not afraid to die. So you didn't do anything. Hallelujah. But if it doesn't kill me, to make me better. But in that, your iniquity is the ability for it to destroy you. But if God should, in my prayer, I'm just worshiping God, say, now lift your voice and slay. I tell you, you will know that my sword is good. Hallelujah. Rise up, let's close. Stand your ground, sister. In that travail, in that situation, in that which the devil is doing, just understand, stand your ground. Always live a life that is seated, that is under the influence of kingdom dominion. Let the kingdom rule within you. Let the kingdom manipulate you. Let the kingdom order your steps and order your reality. Let God be the principal factor that decides what your life becomes. Revelation of God as Alpha Omega brings us to a point where we can receive things that are holy, things that are in the realm of the Spirit, function in them, and the dominion that our lives bring into the earth will continue long after we have gone. That is immortality. That is what it means when the Abel was speaking, even when he was dead. You can still hear any voice to speak in the earth if you understand the God called Alpha Omega. Your life will not be just within the context of the years that you live upon the face of the earth, but it will transcend time. It will transcend time. It will carry a dominion that cannot be stopped. I want you to begin to pray that God will give us more understanding of the strategy that is letting loose in this day, so that the glorious church can begin to arise, and every strand and stain of apostasy that is seeking to overwhelm that which God is doing, it will be overtaken by the brilliance of the light that God is letting loose upon us and through us. That the dominion of God will prosper in our lives. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you. Lo selem braskata babalande koria masabalanda. Los cabrandes cabrahazalanta branta baboria masalabalantelia. Endra manskande baboza baza balata branta baboza balakaya mansaleda. There is a patience of Jesus that all of us must have and sustain. Walking with Jesus requires that we will be patient. Many times, several things will seek to press you in, to cave you in. But remember that iniquity has a curse in it that will make it self-destruct. Lord, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, I want to request for prayer now from you. I want you to pray for me. That's what I'm saying. Concerning Lagos. Lagos is a terrible place. It's a strange place. And the devil has prospered in that terrain for a long time. But we want to pray that God make a way in that place. Can we pray? Make a way in that place. Shebrahale Baskadia Manzane. Mandoro Boskoria Masakada Balasana. Jababonda Nahafraskepatendo Lebra Mansala Baboria. Make a way. That the streams will begin to flow. That the hub of grace will break out. Something will break out. That the voice of God will break out. The Spirit of God will break out. Signs and wonders will break out. Things will break out. The dominion of God will break out. Malan solehe. Labraskata babonja malahabraskela yalabata. Ebreketela baskubria la baskanda baboria manda la braskela ela baba haya mansala bara 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 baskade babosa baraha ebabon shanda la habreska breka patamena skale baboria mbasala mara sanda bara baskala baboria mahala hayada lande breska tababondala. I'll give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Now please don't forget this. Every little thing, instruction that God gives you, as you pray, in your dream, in the visions of the Spirit, every little instruction, don't take it lightly. We want to pray finally and say, God, give us the grace to obey your every word. That was who John was. He was our companion in the kingdom. A man that has received grace to obey God's every word. God's every word. Give me that grace that I will be able to obey your every word. Your every word. I want to obey your every word. Maraskendo Borohoi. There's vacancy in the spirit. God seeks men that can understand him. He seeks people that can walk with him. And God will bestow upon us that grace to obey his every word. My God, I give you glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Now just play the keyboard for a moment. I want just hold somebody's hand. I don't know why, but that's what I saw in the spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's just pray for 5 minutes before we close. Oh my God.
Kande broska patamananskelia braskate babola. Jalabam braskate barahalabaya mansabriada baboskete briada hadaban salaya. Lebabol halaya manskale bareta mankote branda kasebalandeli. Esamina la braskata barada brasketal.
Yes, yes. Lift up your voice and begin to pray for your family now. Pray for your family now.
Pray now, pray now. Babela Hase. Jebalanda Braskate Baboria Halabaska Bra Alahamba. Mendoske Brasata Babaranakaya Baskalehi. Babambo Babanda Skabrata Balada Branta Babori Makadia Branta Basabala. Ebaremaskata Branta Babo Sabriada Bakadabaya. Ebarema Sanda Brada Babo Sabranta Banada Bakadelia. Ebarema Sanda Brada Babo Sabranta Banaba Sabana Babaha. Samalandembro da Kayaba. Mahasalila Handra Alatate. Marela Lia Laboskete Branta Babalema. Ayaba Sombre Nahadabaska de Baboria. Alesso Rambale Dagaba Kayama 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 Shalananama Salababaya Salamando Sadebros Kapatala Salana, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we ask that you preserve every family here represented. Preserve every family here presented. We present every family before you. From the least to the greatest among us here this morning. That your arms of love, your arms of power, might encamp around every family here represented. In the name of Jesus, we stand against every mishap. We stand against everything that has been cooked in the belly of wickedness. We stand against it this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask, O God, that your hands be extended. That your hands be extended. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.